Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. We are back on video, and we're back on audio, like we are most weeks. This is a podcast about music news. This is a podcast about music news and music culture. This is a late cast.
This is not a late cast.
Oh, yeah, this is
late cast was the one time we recorded at 10:45 at night, and
I have to scrub the podcast.
Because at 11 o'clock, I get really weird, and then already, because I'm already losing my mind.
Hear that, lady? Sean gets weird at 11. This is a podcast about music news and music culture, and we were going to... We have a lot of thoughts about this summer, honestly, and we're going to talk about these more next episode. Next episode is going to be very fun. We're just going to be very, discussion-focused, where we're looking forward to developing something really cool that's, like, off the beaten path. It's a little bit different for an average episode. We bridge into the fall, which is going to be really fun with music releases. But we got a little taste of that, just a smidge. This week, Disclosure just randomly dropped 5 songs.
They're like, okay, here's a song. Here's another song. You know what? You're so cool. You get 2 more songs.
You get
and
a song.
And guess what?
You get a song.
Another song.
You get a song.
There's 5 songs.
Songs for everybody!
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
We're also going to talk about later on, Interpol has a new album. And then Justice, they released a live album, which we usually don't review, but indulge us. Indulge us.
Justice.
Okay.
Also, it doesn't really sound like a live album, but we'll get to it later.
Yeah. But let's jump right into that fact that Disclosure released 5 singles. And we were really, a house was divided when it came to this, bringing this on the podcast. Because Sean and I nearly killed each other over, we just had a conversation over.
I went out my switchblade and I go,
say that again.
Why does it always have to end like this?
Because you're a bitch.
No, but we have a singles rule on Audio Face for a reason. Because we don't want to overhype an album that's about to come out and give it like an unfair attention to compare it to another album based on different artists' release periods. But like,
yeah, you guys are lucky, or else I'll be 1975.
Otherwise, this would be the 1975 podcast,
which I'm really tempted to do. But
Sean's tempted to like mutiny and do like a.
I mean, I own half the shares, so technically we have the same amount of voice. And at one point, I could go, "Fuck it, my podcast," and just start ranting about them.
But I have 50+1 because all the passwords are mine.
I have the Audio Face Instagram.
Jesus, that's a very... Follow us on Instagram, by the way, at Audio Face Pod. And that's... We're professionals because we're doing... We have professionals because we're doing the plug in the beginning of the show.
Fucking threatening right there. Like, it takes me 2 seconds and that...
Let's talk
information. Anyways.
We don't know... These are the first real songs that Disclosure's released since Moog For You singles.
Well, they did release a single early on in the year.
Right.
And that was random, but this was 5 in 2 days.
Yeah.
Basically felt like a mini EP, but they released,
Ultimatum.
Ultimatum, yeah.
Yeah, before that was Moog For Love
in
2016.
Maybe March, I'm thinking?
Yeah.
Around
that was sometime in the first half of this, before the summer really started.
Before the summer.
That's the only way I can measure time. But anyways, Ultimatum was kind of the newest thing.
It felt super Disclosure-y.
Yeah.
Like, it sounded like them, it had their distinct...
The distinct, like,
sound,
house.
Like the,
kind of very bouncy.
Subtle era.
Yeah.
Not Caracol era.
Very true. Although I feel like these 5 songs, I don't know where to categorize these. Are these going to be on the new album? Are these going to be just...
Just these 5 or what?
These 5? I guess what I can say about them is, whereas Subtle had a very, that's the kind of standard Disclosure sound. And Caracol was a bit of a departure from that.
I think an evolution
of their sound, but I don't know. I feel like Caracol kind of explored every version of that kind of Disclosure. I want them to do it like a new concept, I guess.
And that's what it seems like they did for these 5.
Yes, because it's more funky.
Each of the album cover looked like a little nebula, basically, just in different colors. And they tend to do that where they'll pick like something to focus on, and they have their art where they have the little face drawing
Disclosure
type thing,
face,
the Disclosure face, and they keep doing that. They did do that on their Instagrams, but
that's a good brand.
Like, it's super good, very unique. I quite enjoy it. But all these songs are more funky, more jazz inspired. I mean, and that's literally what they said, but you listen to them and
you
immediately
get it.
Yeah, and it sounds like an evolution off of Subtle and Caracol. It sounds kind of like a combination of the two, and it's
definitely with the jazz.
I quite like it. Yeah, When they released it, I go, okay, cool. And then I just saw that they kept going with it, and I go, all right, let's see if it feels like a theme of it. And then it felt really like an EP, not just five singles.
Yeah.
So the first one was Moonlight.
Right.
And I thoroughly enjoyed Moonlight. It felt like good house, but a little, you know, mix of funk and groove in it. And then all the other four were good. Like, there was only one I didn't really like too much, where it might have been, what was it, Where You Come From? It's funky, right. Yeah, it might have been Where You Come From, because Funky Sensation was really, really good.
I think most of the songs are pretty chill, and then Funky Sensation was the banger.
Funky Sensation is definitely the banger. And Where You Come From, I think it was the first half of the song, like, it goes with the drums.
Right.
It just felt like it didn't feel like it was synced up the right way, and then the second half of the song was good. But they try to make it more Afrobeat, which I do like.
Yeah. They're bringing different things out in the mix, and maybe...
And I like that. You know, they try to keep it different, and Disclosure are really good at trying different sounds and doing something with their brand and keeping it as themselves, which is very hard to do in EDM. But they're
absolutely
not normal EDM. That's why I really like these guys.
Yeah. Disclosure is so good as an electronic band that he went to a rave, him, to see them perform live. And he sat through Dylan Francis to see Disclosure.
I did sit through Dylan Francis to see Disclosure.
Yeah.
So, there was some house booths there that were pretty chill.
Yeah, but...
And then there was so much hypey-typey. Oh my god, that was... Oof.
So my best, worth it. My best speculation is that...
Speculation.
Stimulation.
Right? That's a good
song. No, but let me talk about my wishful thinking. I would like for this to be more of Disclosure exploring an idea, and I would like to think that none of these songs are going to be on their next album.
I would hope so.
I would... Because that would kind of fuck up our rule. But more than that, I would love to see many of these sounds and these kind of styles. I think they're going in a really cool direction, but they should develop it a little bit more.
Kind of like on the Moog for Love EP, something like that. And then now just make an album kind of based upon these. Because Moog for Love came out a year after Caracol.
Yeah, and they felt so kind of Caracol inspired.
Inspired, but a little different too. But now it's just an evolution of them. And now I think they got, okay, kind of have a sound. Let's see what we can do with this and string together. Maybe put one or two of the five songs on there. Maybe keep like Moonlight, Funky Sensation, something like that.
Right.
And then have the rest just as singles, something like that. I don't want all five on there because then it feels like I already know the album and you just give me an extra four songs. That doesn't make any sense.
Because then it's just like
especially within a 2-day period. It makes sense if like how the 1975 did their singles where May, July, August, they might do one in September, take a month off, and then have their album out in November, you know, 11, 12 song album.
Right.
That makes sense. But to do 2 days of five songs, that, you know, that's a big release.
It's not exactly in this way, but it's very popular in trap to release like five or six songs off of your album and then release the album and kind of game the charts that way. So when your album releases, the singles automatically get included to that total and they just like chart overnight.
Nicki Minaj.
Yeah, and more on that later. And another more on that later theme is that artists should really take a step back, think about their sound and evolve it and then move forward because it becomes better work. Which is why we're gonna rate this project as if it were an album.
Yeah,
and using our ranking system for the week, deals. What kind of deals does this five release make? I think it makes tremendously decent deals. So like, it's in the high category of deal making, but of that high category, I mean like, it's five singles, it's not really like a full together piece. If I'm charitably calling it an EP, then it's got a lot of good things going for it, for sure.
I think it's tremendously solid.
Tremendously solid deals. That's a little bit better than what I
read. Tiny bit better than yours because Moonlight is super house, and I love house so much.
Love Can Be So Hard, I think,
also
is just a really
fucking good track.
Yeah.
There's a lot of good stuff, especially for me. I go, oh, so hard. This week I go, oh, I can get my house again. It's been a while.
This week was...
Also the VMAs, and we don't give a fuck.
Yeah, this week was relaxing. This week, the VMAs happened, and we didn't give a fuck. I barely knew they existed, and you didn't give a fuck. You want to know why? Because they were the lowest viewed ever. And I didn't know this, but Viacom was airing the Music Awards on 9 different networks at
Holy
the same
shit.
Time. And it still scraped together 4.87 million viewers.
That's it.
Yeah. Like, opening
I remember, I remember in 2008 VMAs when Kanye came out with Daft Punk.
Right. Those are prime.
Those were like prime VMA days.
That was peak.
Was that VMAs or was that Grammys? I don't. Kanye or Daft Punk.
That was just like peak Kanye. That was Grammys.
Ooh, Grammys? Yeah. Ah, okay. But whatever, that's what it felt like. More people care, even the Grammys, more right. people cared about it 10 years ago than they do now. Now, especially in the streaming era, I feel like a lot of awards stuff are a bit different because there's so many different platforms and stuff that, especially even music videos are being released on, like how the 1975, a couple other bands have made their playlists, and they put music videos that are only specific to Spotify on them, and you can't get them anywhere else.
Right.
And it's kind of a changing era in music in general, and good because the
Young EMI.
EMI record.
R.I.P.
Oof, man, rip.
Which one of the big five is that now?
Right.
You keep talking, I'll figure out where EMI is. But you're saying about the VMAs, like, relevancy.
Yeah, it really doesn't matter. That's not too many people give a shit about it. And you know what? Not too many people should give a shit about it. Just a lot of professional buffoons being professional buffoons. So, there you go. Fuck it. Listen to music, rate it, pay artists to write. Socialist Sean, if I can speak words. EMI have Radiohead for a while, right?
Huh?
Didn't EMI have Radiohead?
Because
that was before they went to XL?
Yeah, that's potentially, because EMI was like the big record label for a lot of things in England. But then they spun off into
Pink Floyd and stuff.
Then they became Universal Music Group. Warner Music.
Because they're Warner now. Which one of the big five?
Yeah, but I wanted to stay on the VMAs for one last point I had, which was this conversation is kind of as old as our lifetimes, but it's worth having again. MTV is used to a position of relevancy that it had outside of our lifetimes in the 80s and 90s, when there are five different MTV channels and like, making it on that medium was how you knew whether you were an up-and-coming artist or you're a big artist. That's like, that's what you go to. It's TV. And we still kind of have this as an era. Like, people still aspire for TV. That's still where all the money is. But we're honestly at this point where the next big thing or the coolest thing is not going to be on MTV's Video Music Awards.
Mm-mm.
None of the coolest people are going to be on MTV's Music Awards. It's just going to be the people who are on top 10 hits radio all the time, all right? It's like, what's going to be really hip and what's going to be really new and name-making? It's like, on the internet. It's the way people discover things. It's by like, having conversations that are decentralized from this like, centralized music order that is
neoliberal central, the one-party system.
Yeah, basically it's good. The internet is not making it so there are fewer gatekeepers to the system, and even though we have to deal with SoundCloud rap, there are other great things, even on SoundCloud, but there's a lot more music to discover that's never going to make it on MTV that we're going to be talking about on Audioface, because that's what we do.
Yeah, so now we're going to go to Interpol.
Yeah.
Interpol, Marauder. Was that said right?
Yeah, Marauder. That's about right. That's good. Sean English, good job.
Wow, Sean and he's worked for once. 44 minutes long, 13 songs long.
Sweet spot.
Like good 11 to 13, 45. I'll even bump you 10 minutes, 55.
I could give
it. If I'm not merciful. An hour if I like you.
Yeah.
And
If I like you. If it's going well.
The date's going well.
But, really,
You won't get Sergey pissed off.
Interpol is a very interesting group to me. I've listened to them for a while. They've been a staple of...
I just broke my laptop.
It's a Dell. Don't move it anymore. You'll mess the display drivers. Trust me.
Holy shit. Yeah, it's totally... All right.
But
thanks.
Interpol has been a very interesting band to me. They've been kind of a staple of alternative rock for most of the 21st century.
Yeah, yeah.
And they have had a bunch of albums that have come out, but I kind of felt that they were getting stagnant. I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they were dating their music for a bit, and then this came out, and it somehow, to me, felt fresh.
Yeah, it felt a lot fresher than other things that come out.
And this is, when I was listening to it, I was trying to think of other rock albums that have come out since we've had the podcast, the past 2 years, that have felt super stagnant, and like, the genre of just has gone to well, it hasn't gone to shit, but it's genre has kind of stayed here, and we want it to
plateauing. Bump
a level. Yeah.
Like,
so the big one I was thinking of was Foo Fighters last year, which I didn't get to review fully. I got to just kind of semi-review because I was racing and Tammy did it. But when we did it, September of last year, that was a big one that came to mind because Foo Fighters are one of the biggest rock groups in the world, and that album felt super stale.
Right.
Incubus came out the album earlier that year, and it felt a little more fresh. It felt a little it still felt like the genre, but felt a little more fresh and a little more relevant and more new. You're reaching the limit of what you can do with rock and alternative rock, like
musically.
Bare minimal is alternative rock until you get into experimental. And this is what Marauder feels like. It feels like Incubus is 8 in that way, where I go, hey, this is good, pure alternative rock, and it doesn't feel dated. It does feel fresh. It feels new in a way, but it's not a game changer in the genre. It's that good of, I want new alt rock, but I want to keep it to the core, and this is what you get with it.
I
thoroughly enjoyed it, honestly. I mean, it's felt fresh. I've been wanting this for a while in the genre. Last one to me really was Incubus 8 last year. There's a couple albums this year that were okay, but again, they still felt pretty stagnant. This one,
yeah,
okay.
This is
pretty solid.
So we are. You haven't mentioned Tranquility Base at all, and this
because that's not a normal alternative rock album to me.
Elaborate.
Because a normal alternative rock album is AM.
Okay. What separates Tranquility Base, and I'm not disagreeing with you, but I think it's good to flesh this out, but what separates Tranquility Base from most alternative records?
So that's the problem of the alternative genre, because I was saying, when I was saying this is more of the rock, alternative
right.
rock.
Yes.
And that's what I said, until you get to alternative experimental, and then
I get
that's
what you're
the
saying.
Entire genre. So Tranquility Base Hotel and Casino, which is a fantastic fucking album from the Arctic Monkeys, they completely changed their sound, made it a lot slower, changed the vocals, did different instrumentation. Marauder is kind of pure rock, whether it's just guitar, drum, bass, maybe a tiny bit of electronics here or there, but it really wasn't much in vocals, that's it. With Tranquility Bass, I did electronic, did a drum, bass, guitar, xylophone, whatever the fuck Alex Turner does with his hair.
Is hairspray an instrument?
Right, and then you cut him. Come on, dog. So within that, they weren't limiting themselves to what they did with AM. Interpol were kind of limiting themselves, but they still made it fresh in the year 2018.
Yeah.
It's kind of hard to describe, but I listened to it and I was going into it thinking, I don't want this to be a Foo Fighters incident all over again, but it wasn't. I quite enjoyed it. There was only one song that felt really slow to me, which is Stay in Touch, which is right before Interlude 1. I did not like that song that much, as it felt like it kind of brought the album to a halt really randomly. Halfway through the song, it just got super, super slow. I go, wait, what?
Yeah.
I was like half asleep too, and I see two, and I'm like, wait, is the album ending? What the hell?
So.
And then Interlude 1 came on, and then Mountain Child, the 7th song, came on, and then it was back up. And that was really strange to me, to get kind of threw it off its rocker. But then after that, it felt pretty stable. Even Interlude 2, it felt pretty stable. But that first transition to the first interlude was a bit strange. I don't like that, but
yeah, I also agreed with you, especially on Stay in Touch. The album was really honestly just very fun. It's really good alternative rock that I think, like, your distinction really well said.
It feels, you know, the 1975 self-titled album, you know, songs like The City, stuff
right.
like that, where you feel, hey, this is alternative rock, like, you know, 2012 era, like pretty
right.
standard, but it feels like, hey, I can rock out to this year.
Yeah.
It didn't feel stale.
It was very, just like fun and rock heavy. And I felt that, you know, how I kind of think of albums as I'm reviewing them as a quadrant where I'm trying to see, okay, how much further up did this song make me feel relative to the song before,
fucking
the song after it?
Economist Dan over here.
And Stay in Touch was just like a really random low point.
It was out of nowhere, yeah.
And I know it's I have my bias towards downbeat songs, because I love upbeat. And this album
I like downbeat usually.
Yeah, but I think, especially in an album like this, you want to think about placement. And I think if there's any more attention to detail that could have been done with this album, it's maybe switching around a couple of the songs. It's actually pretty good in that I wouldn't get rid of any of the songs. And even Stay in Touch isn't a bad song.
It's a good song.
It's just a buzzkill at that point.
Out of
in
place
the album.
Because the whole album was like pumping up, felt good. And then if it happened happened maybe two or three songs later, it would have been perfect.
Yeah.
Like, if it happened to slow down, you want to transition again. But it happened, it was like three songs, and it wasn't that long, maybe, 15 minutes or so?
Yeah.
And then boom, grinds to a halt, and then picks back up again. It's like, hey, I'm not gonna. It's like I'm racing and I go, shit, I dropped my water bottle. I gotta slam on the brakes, go turn back, unclip, pick up my bottle, put it back in the cage, clip back on, then sprint to 950 watts. Just go, get back in the group. What the fuck?
It's just.
I dropped my bottle, tough shit. Ken says, go, you gotta race. Actually, it happened to my friend Matt today in Edmonton when he was, or in Montreal, Canada. Matt dropped his bottle and he's like, well, shit. And then just kept racing and he like nearly died on the run because he dropped his bottle, but you gotta go. Good.
Really?
Yeah, that happens.
That happens. I really wish that they could have put some of the slower songs together or rearranged them. The album kind of, to me, ends and dies around, funny enough, Party's Over, song 11. And the rest is just kind of like...
The last two songs? Yeah. I can see that.
Party's Over, Interlude 2, and It Probably Matters just kind of seemed like, we're going to put the down songs here. But all in all, like, I think I've kind of explained this album thoroughly, we both have, in that it's very good. There's some random missteps there, but ultimately it's better than Interpol's like more recent stuff. Even L Int, what was that one way? It was just their name spelled backwards, L Pintor.
Yeah.
I found this to be better than that, and I haven't liked an Interpol album this much since Our Love to Admire, which is like a classic.
That's a classic album.
Yeah.
That's a good album.
And so,
but also The Rover is a really good song, by the way.
Yeah. Oh, The Rover.
I mean, that was their single, and it got relatively played a bit on the radio, the few times I listened to the radio, but it still felt good in the album.
Rover, Mountain Child, and Number 10. Number 10 has this really interesting guitar intro that kind of, it's a really good like riff, and it throws you for a loop to make you think that's how the song's going to be. And then it takes a different switch, and it's like...
Hard pass.
Yeah, it's a really... It's nice. I really enjoyed it. Yeah. It's obviously something a little bit different. All not right. too much.
So this makes tremendously good deals. Tremendously good deals.
Tremendously good deals. I would say...
I wouldn't say tremendously great, but tremendously good deals. Like, I will listen to this album the rest of this year. I may listen to it a couple of times next year and then maybe forget about it. It's not going to be, you know, one of my staples. It's not going to be like Tranquility Base where that's going to be a staple for like the next 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, that... Or MGM, or when Until I Die, that MGMT album. Little Dark Age. I was just thinking of the single. That's a staple now. You know, this is going to be, all right, I might listen to it here or there, but, which is still good.
Yeah.
What's your deal?
I'm giving this this is one of the best, biggest deals. So this is the best and biggest I can get without calling it tremendous. Because... This is a better rock album, but really rock has been very stagnant and dead. And there are a couple songs I will pick out of this album, but this isn't like an album that I'm just have on repeat. Like there are a couple albums mostly outside of the alternative rock genre this year for me, honestly, that I've just had almost all through on repeat. And this is really not that, but there are a lot of good songs in here, and this is one of the better rock albums I've heard this year.
Definitely.
If this isn't on my like end of the year best rock alternative albums, it's because it missed it by one. It missed it by something that hasn't come out this year.
Yeah.
Because this is
which
right now.
We're waiting for a couple albums this year, which could definitely push it down.
Yeah. Right now, this is one of the better ones, but it's not strong enough for me to go, oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, you got Tranquility Base Hotel, you've got. Now you have the 1975 going to come out with an album, so there's a lot of stuff right now that. Like,
Dude, there's a lot of entries.
There's a lot of shit coming out right now.
Lenny Kravitz, don't sleep on that. There's Muse.
That's right. Muse are making an album. Fuck me. Wait till the Audio Face Awards show. That's going to be a bumping show.
I can't wait.
I'm just waiting for the Hard R Award.
The Hard R Award for most racist thing in music. We still have the rest of the year. We have a political season coming up.
Oh, I know.
They can say a lot of racist shit. And
Nicki Minaj is now telling...
Yeah.
Her tour is apparently over, but it's not over. She's having a meltdown right now.
Yeah.
It's fucking beautiful.
Nicki Minaj is having a little bit of a meltdown. Let's talk about this before we come back to the break, because we're almost like out of time for this segment. But when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about how Nicki Minaj is a little bit wilding out.
Then we got two more albums. Or two more albums.
One more album and a little bit more news. It's wholesome
good
news.
It's like 10 minutes.
Yeah. They'll know how long the podcast is.
I know.
Sure. We'll be right back because we're professional.
I'm fucking stupid.
And we're back with Nicki Minaj things.
She's like going in a
million. Yeah, so she released Queen. It was a very decent to like. It's just like everything. Yeah, it wasn't
all
really
bullshit.
And you know, if
and
I have
charting
to,
thing, I don't want to talk about that because it's gonna make me mad.
I will make one comparison. I liked Cardi B's album more than Nicki Minaj's album.
Cardi B's album goes hard because it's the worst best song of the year.
And like, Nicki Minaj and Cardi B had this back and forth that I kind of just assumed was just pettiness. But I'm now more inclined to believe that Nicki Minaj is like the bad one here.
She bad.
Not in the good bad. But anyways, she's been doing this whole like self-pity fest because her album hasn't been charting as
Who
high
gives
as
a fuck?
World, which like no one really cares. And then she canceled the part of her tour. Well, Future was no longer going to be on her tour and they were doing a tour together. And so Billboard reported that the tour was being canceled, but like of course they mentioned that it's just going to be Nicki Minaj and the dates got moved around and it's a lot. But Nicki took that as, oh, they're saying my tour was canceled when it's not, so we should. So she said that all of her fans should do a harassment campaign against the writer of the article, which is dumb. And then called the writer of the article the cocksucker of the day. Which is apparently
like an award.
Which is, yeah, that's her thing. She said, get me the name of this writer and then hit them and tell them this is one black woman they'll not bully into a corner by fraudulent shaming tactics. I was like, please don't make this. Please, with your cultural appropriating ass, please don't make this a conversation.
With your fake cultural.
Like, I'm literally more Japanese than her. But, like, don't make this about any kind of racial thing. At best, it's like a misunderstanding.
Honey, you
gotta
pick a race first.
And secondly, like, this just isn't a good look. You could have done really well with your album that took, like, hot takes to all of your fans. Either the rap artists or whatever. It was, like, fine, all right. It didn't chart as well. Maybe that doesn't feel so
damn,
great, but
is she now on the shortlist for the Not a Little Bitch Award? She just got to the Not a Little Bitch Award.
Yeah. She's on the shortlist. Wynn Butler, okay?
The
Wynn Butler Noted Little Bitch Award.
She's now on the shortlist for the Wynn Butler Little Bitch Award. It could be very easy.
Not for
the J. Cole Little Bitch Award. It could be the Kanye West Little Bitch Award.
Yeah.
There's a lot of Little Bitch Awards it could go to, but. Or it could also be Kendrick Lamar Little Bitch Award.
No, it's not Kendrick Lamar. It's Daniel Ek, the CEO of Spotify, because on Audioface, we bite the hand that feeds us.
Also, Kendrick did do a lot of little bitchy things this year, so. But not as bad as. But to me, it's one thing that makes you a little bitch. To me, J. Cole's still in the running because if you go back and be like, oh, let me have a little conversation, a little pump, and see what's
I think Kendrick
all about.
Lamar stood his ground on the things he was shitty on, and I can't call him a noted little bitch for that. You win the Noted Little Bitch Award for
J. Cole.
For unnecessarily complaining or just like failing. Just like fumbling, just missing the catch.
Going 180 on something that you shouldn't go 180 on, like J. Cole.
Exactly. Or being unprincipled.
All right, so Danny Brown.
So this is just.
Tangent.
So speaking of music and the VMAs being more relevant, the VMAs are like, oh, YouTube and Pandora and streaming services are coming for our. Can you stop clicking your laptop?
I'm like, literally, I can't open it right now because it's dead.
You will literally just make it worse the more you hinge it.
There we go.
But, Danny Brown.
Zach, I literally pushed it back in, that's why.
Danny Brown is premiering new music on Twitch. And he has a whole album and everything. And he says it's only gonna come out on Twitch. So it's the first, like, Twitch-based album. I'm not gonna bother listening to it, because I don't care. I'm not gonna put myself through dealing with some, like,
that's a very interesting thing that's making it Twitch only. I understand to premiere an album on Twitch, but Twitch is really annoying to rewatch something. It's very easy to watch live streams. It's kind of a nuisance to go back on it because anytime you start back on a video that you previously watched, like your Bleep 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 app, it doesn't go back to where you started from. It goes from the very beginning.
It doesn't resume playback if you like leave the program.
So, which, I mean, that's on the handy. That's on your mobile phone. If it's on a laptop, it might be different, but
either way, people don't love to listen to music on their laptops either.
No, 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 not at all. So that's interesting. All right.
I think it's just a thing that, you know, every artist tries to, or artists love to pick a technology or pick an area of technology and try to be a maverick. Shout out John McCain. Felt disgusting just even doing that. I just say shout out John McCain to a dead. I'm going to move on. But people like to, Sean's face is just, oh, he's shocked.
I really want to get up and leave the room. I'm so uncomfortable right now. I'm so uncomfortable.
So artists love to take over different mediums and like, say, I'm the first artist to do this, or I'm the first to do that. And so, yeah, Danny Brown gets to say he did the first Twitch album, but I don't know if this is going to make a precedent or if it's either going to be any good. No. Like, it's not really boding. I don't know.
Who knows at this point?
Can we talk about Justice?
Yes, we
and,
can.
And their live Woman album. Worldwide.
Woo.
Woman Worldwide. So.
Women. Yeah.
Woman. Go. Only one.
Well, man, why is there not an X then?
Woman Worldwide. It's a live album, kind of. It has all the live. What really? And
it's
here's
a live mix. It's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah, it's a live mix. The reason I wanted to review it is because it's totally different, and I knew it would be pretty good. And it reminds me of Daft Punk's Alive albums. And it's
just
really
without
nice.
The crowd, basically. So,
yeah, there's no.
I mean, I'm not gonna like really give it a true rating because it's a live album, so that's not. I don't know how to give a live album a rating.
I mean, our ratings don't matter, anyways.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but it's allowed.
Anyways, it's good. It's solid. I thought it when I heard it was a live album before I listened to it. I thought it would be you hear a crowd in the background, and it's just basically just a live mix that they do. So. Deadmau5 does this and a couple other house artists like Scream, my favorite DJ. They will release their live mixes, but it'll be what they use in their live shows. So it won't have any background of a crowd. It'll just be, hey, this is the raw file that I use on my shows.
Yeah.
That I mixed for this show. Which I quite enjoy, especially in house, because it gives you an experience of something that you can listen to something live. Not like or you can YouTube a Radiohead concert or something and still get good audio quality. EDM's kind of hard for that. To get the quality that you want. But you can with them doing, sending out what they
At the same time, EDM is like the only genre where it's part of the genre's culture to release your live mixes and.
Yeah. I gotta go and drive.
Yeah. That's more of like a SoundCloud thing, but.
SoundCloud.
You're releasing your live mixes, you're constantly tweaking and showing them off. That's just kind of the vibe of it. But anyways, Woman Worldwide, it's a mix of a lot of Justice's coolest songs, and a lot of them are like mixes of the songs together. So you'll have like Genesis and Phantom mixed together. We Are Your Friends, Waters of Nazareth, and an alternate version of Phantom also mixed together, making it really cool. The songs flow in together really nicely and start to finish listening to it as an album. It's a really good hour, 24-minute set.
Solid. I quite enjoyed it.
Yeah, I love listening to this.
Right?
Because it reminded me of what I like about electronic music festivals. When you do one that's like not like still full of all the same energy you'd find from the generic build up drop shit thing, but you know, a lot more range, a lot more musical fun. Again, this kind of had that funk thing going for it, which I like that's popping up in music more, and I hope it continues to. With a whole summer of listening to trap and a lot of different things that are off the beat, it's nice to hear something that's just a lot different from most of what the mainstream is. So thank you, Justice, for re-releasing some of your songs.
Tremendously good.
Tremendously good. I'll leave it right there. Tremendously good deals. Not those Cohen deals. These are really good deals.
Just Cohen makes bad deals.
Cohen makes bad deals.
A Gorilla is supposed to make a new album, apparently.
Yeah, Damon Albarn.
Damon Albarn, fucking take some Prozac and chill. Go to sleep for like 2 years and then make another album.
Adult ADHD, Exhibit A, Damon Albarn.
Seriously.
Holy
shit.
So, after The Good, the Bad, and the Korean Reunion, which is supposed to be happening later this year.
It's supposed to be in like October, November, right?
Probably early next year, knowing Damon Albarn, because overpromising, underdelivering. But he says he already has an idea for what? Yeah, kind of. See, he has another idea for Gorillaz album, to which I say, tap the brakes.
Seriously, please tap the brakes. Like,
Humans was all over the place. The Now Now wasn't redeeming enough. And I'm not saying these albums were necessarily bad, but like I said with Interpol, which is a very strange that I'm having Interpol and Gorillaz in the same conversation. But it is...
Not too strange, but...
And Disclosure as well. It's very good to take a little break in between making your music, figure out what you're doing.
The Radiohead rule. Take 5 years and you make some of the best music. Like Arctic Monkeys, look.
Yeah.
Boom. And Keenan Limbs, 2011. Moonshaped Pool, 2016.
And you can argue that, okay, Damon Albarn, kind of like Tom York, never really quits making music. He just experiments with different sounds and puts himself in different environments.
Yeah, but with Tom York, he doesn't do it under the Radiohead name. He only releases Radiohead when he's with the other five, six, technically, because Nigel.
But you can make the same argument that neither does Damon, because he's released stuff under Good, Bad, and the Queen, with Blur, with, what was that Rocket Juice in the Moon, that one album that actually went pretty hard. I haven't listened to that in a while.
But to me, it feels like, I don't know if Damon's rushing or not, Tom does not rush music. He takes his time with it. Because he made Atoms for Peace, but Atoms for Peace were doing things in 2010. Their album came out in 2013. Because they wanted to make sure that it sounded good.
They took their time.
And the same thing with Moonshaped Pool. Half of the songs, actually 7 of the 11 songs were made by the year 2012.
Yeah.
They were already made them. They actually already recorded some of them. But they took their time to make sure they polished it and really made it to where this is what we want it to sound, and we will know how it sounds live as well. So to me, when you take that big break, you can still make music on the side. You have different projects, but under your main kind of umbrella, your main act.
Namesake.
Yeah. Relax and make sure it's good enough to where you're not just throwing it out because you made something. Not everything you make needs to be out.
Not everything you make deserves a gold star.
No, definitely.
Yeah.
So, and you know, Damon, take a chill pill. We love the Gorillaz. That's our favorite band. I definitely like the Now a lot more than Humans. But again, I don't want 3 albums within that year. Even the 1975 releasing 2 albums quite close to each other. It's supposed to be November this year. And then May of next year. I'll go, okay, I'm going to see and what happens. But hopefully I don't want them to go mental with it.
Or at least 2 albums that are too similar.
Yeah, I don't think they'll be similar enough because... knowing how they are, but with the Gorillaz, he can make it quite similar, and I'm hoping he doesn't, so.
Yeah.
But anyways, and then...
We have one last, and usually we end the show with something ridiculous or stupid, but you know, this is just...
This is heartfelt,
This is just, what's the word I used? Wholesome.
Wholesome.
This is wholesome.
So there's a fan in a wheelchair at a Liam Gallagher concert, and the guy, people helped him crowd surf in a wheelchair, and there's a picture of him, like, getting turned as fucked on a wheelchair in a giant crowd.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I like it.
Yeah.
I allow it.
Liam Gallagher described the moment as biblical behavior. And he said, he tweeted out, "Respect to all my lads at the concert for giving Michael Reynolds the best view of his house. Biblical behavioral as you were. I want to thank everyone who made the Manchester gig biblical. My mind was truly blown." But yeah, that's just, it's such a nice thing. Like,
I don't even like Liam that much, but.
The Gallaghers are just...
Well, I like Noel. Liam is fucking off his rocker. Noel is kind of a normal guy.
I mean, the Gallaghers exist solely just to make sure Enemy keeps its doors open, but like...
Right.
It's... You love going out... I love going out to music festivals and things like this, mm-hmm. because you have this kind of sense of community that I guess some weird people get from church, but like, it's mostly a... I'm just fucking around with all the... people who are religious who listen to this show, which I'm sure is probably not that much, although statistically more than I am counting, no offense. But
fucked up.
To everyone I've offended, rate the podcast 5 stars. But no, music is this kind of environment where people really like kind of usually try to look out for each other. And that's a great instance of just being cool.
Yeah.
And I love it.
It is nice.
Not enough wholesome things. Next week is going to be a very fun episode on Audio Face. We're just going to kind of like old school, have a conversation about some of the important things happening in music and music recommendations, because we haven't done that in a minute and a half. And, you know, it's nice. The music recommendations episodes are when we kind of get, it's really the most unique thing we do, because we're just pulling things from everywhere we've talked about, things that we don't bring on to the normal episode just because of time. But we really get to show, these are the eclectic pickings we've had from the past couple of months that I think people are going to be interested in. And then that'll be the nice bridge episode. We'll talk about the song of the summer definitively, and if it even matters, because I think it's a dumb conversation.
Love it if you made it, but fuck you.
what our picks for songs of the summer should be, because I think that's a fun conversation as well, even though apparently Sean's already spoiled it.
I already know it.
We'll talk about other ones too. But, and that'll be the nice bridge into fall, when we're just going to be kind of guns blazing into September with some really cool releases.
Guns blazing is a bad term to use right now.
Well, there's always a mass shooting after a podcast. This is like the fifth podcast we've done on a day of another mass shooting. It's all going to be the same as this bullshit. Thank you for listening to Audio Face. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Audio Face Pod, and we'll see you next week.
Cheers.
Bye.